from the Lord, that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Every first day of the week, we partake of the Lord's Supper. We do that because we see that's what the New Testament Christians were commanded to do by the apostles. We do that because that's what the Lord wants us to do, to engage in this memorial wherein we commemorate Jesus' death until he comes. I think sometimes if we're not careful, though, it may be that the most significant aspect of this memorial is the one thing that maybe we don't think about, is the one thing that perhaps we don't really grasp as well as we should. And I'm going to talk with you about that for a few moments this morning before the men come up and pass out the emblems and we partake of the Lord's Supper. I want to emphasize to you, it's called the Lord's Supper for a reason. Paul uses that expression in verse 20 here of 1 Corinthians 11. He talks about them coming together, or at least they should have come together, in order to partake of the Lord's Supper. That's the format in which this memorial concerning Jesus' death has been cast. It's in the form of a meal. It's in the form of a supper, or the Greek word that Paul uses there in verse 20 is the Greek word deignon, which was their term that would refer to the main meal of the day. Whatever time of the day it might be eaten, the main meal of the day was their deignon. Paul says this is the Lord's meal, the Lord's supper that we are partaking of. And we need to make sure that we appreciate the fact that even though the Lord, I'm sure, in his wisdom could have come up with any number of different formats in order for us to memorialize Jesus and his death. In fact, we as human beings come up with a variety of memorial formats to commemorate great events in history or great people. But the Lord chose in his wisdom to cast this entire memorial in the form of a meal, a symbolic, highly significant meal. Now, that aspect of the Lord's Supper is maybe something that we, if we're not careful, can tend to lose sight of, even though we call it the Lord's Supper all the time. Normally, when we eat our main meal of the day, our family, we sit around the table and have a meal. Well, there's maybe one or two too many people here for all of us to sit around this table, don't you think? So that's not exactly a practical way to do it. And so we are sitting in rows here. We're sitting in pews. So that fact itself might suggest us, if we allow it to, that this memorial might lose its meal format in our minds. We don't want to allow that to happen. Also, we kind of customarily, we take small portions here. Probably a lot smaller portions than when we normally think of eating a meal and having a drink with our meal. Now, I think probably the practice of having a pinch of bread and they have a little tiny cup where we take basically one sip, that probably is something that kind of arose and became customary in order to prevent people from having the problem that the Corinthians had. The Corinthians turned the Lord's meal, the Lord's Supper, into a carnal kind of meal as if its purpose was to feed their bellies. And of course, that's not the purpose of this meal. It's not a meal to feed our bellies, but even when the Apostle Paul corrected the Corinthians for their carnal perversion of the Lord's Supper, he still had them partake of it as a supper, as a meal, because that's how the Lord instituted it. In fact, the Lord instituted this meal in the setting of another meal, the Passover meal. That's when Jesus established this Lord's Supper. In the midst of the Passover meal, and the Passover itself was a memorial kind of meal. It was commemorating the historical event of the Israelites coming out of Egyptian bondage, coming out of slavery. And the Lord's Supper certainly parallels that, because it is a meal that we partake of that commemorates and reminds us of the fact that Jesus provides our deliverance from spiritual bondage, from enslavement to sin. But unlike the Passover, this particular memorial meal, the emblems, the food items that it's comprised of, they specifically point to a particular person. In fact, Jesus took the bread and he said to his apostles, "This bread is my body. Eat this in commemoration of me." He took that cup of fruit of the vine and he said, "I want you to drink this. I want all of you to drink this." And he said, "This is my blood. My blood which was poured out for you. I want you to drink this in commemoration of me." When we really begin to think about what Jesus is saying in those words, he is saying that these two food items symbolically signify his body that he gave on the cross, his blood that he shed on the cross. And the way that God designed for us to remember all of this and to have it impressed on our minds is to partake of the body and blood of Jesus in a metaphorical sense, but partake of the body and blood of Jesus in a meal format. That's just remarkable. When you back up and think about that, it just becomes remarkable what it is that we're engaging in, what we're about to engage in just a moment. A lot of people have misunderstood the whole concept of this meal. In fact, in ancient times, in say the first century or so of Christianity, there were a lot of pagans who heard about these Christians and having their assemblies where they would partake of the body and blood of their master. And a lot of people apparently got the idea from all of that that the Christians were getting together to practice cannibalism. Well, they took this all literally. There are even some who would speak of themselves certainly as Christians through the centuries who have misunderstood this symbolism here. They've taken Jesus' words in a literal way. The doctrine of transubstantiation is a Roman Catholic doctrine that says that a miracle occurs when the Catholic priest prays over this bread, this Eucharist, as they would refer to it, and they say a miracle happens and it literally is transformed into the body of our Lord. And this is literally transformed into his blood. It's just that it still looks like ordinary bread and ordinary fruit of the vine. Well, that's a misunderstanding of the metaphor. And I don't think that Jesus' disciples would have had any problem understanding that Jesus was speaking metaphorically when he said, "This bread is my body." I don't think they would have thought he literally was talking about that bread being the flesh of the man who was there speaking with him. I think they would have got this was a metaphor. Sometimes if we're not careful, though, we may be so set on making sure nobody misunderstands that this is a metaphor and it's not literally the body and blood of Jesus, that we don't use the very metaphorical language Jesus used. We're almost afraid to use that. And I'm not in any way suggesting that you have to say a certain thing, men, when you get up here about this. But sometimes what, in fact, I think probably most of the time, what we kind of get in the habit of saying is not, this is my body, or this is the body of Jesus, but we use a term like, well, this represents Jesus' body. Or this fruit of the vine, this symbolizes Jesus' blood. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with saying that. But I do want you to think about this. I think there's a reason why Jesus used metaphorical language. I think when Jesus explained this, there's a reason why he didn't just say this represents my body or this represents my blood. Metaphors are the most graphic way possible in language for us to make an analogy between two things. When you speak of one thing as if it were something else, you very graphically cause people to see the analogy there. Jesus wants us to graphically understand this analogy between food and drink that we consume for the sake of our physical nourishment of our physical bodies. He wants us to see graphically the analogy between that and his body and his blood that is our spiritual food and drink. And every bit as important as it is, in fact, more important than it is for us to have physical food and drink to sustain our physical body, it's even more important for us to have the spiritual food and drink that Jesus provides for us so that we can have spiritual life. And Jesus' metaphorical language just graphically brings that point to our minds if we allow ourselves to think about it. And you know what else God in his wisdom was doing in all this? He didn't just say, when it comes time to commemorate my son's death, I want you to read a statement where Jesus speaks of his body as if it were bread, or speaks of his blood as if it were drink. God wants us to act this metaphor out. Does everybody see that's what we're about to do? We're about to act out this metaphor and partake of a meal. Now, it's a symbolic meal. And we're not literally partaking of the body and blood of Jesus, but don't allow the graphic nature of the symbolism to escape you. We're acting out the metaphor of eating the flesh of our Lord, of drinking his blood. That's what God conceived in his wisdom for the way that we can best remember Jesus and the significance of his death. Okay. Now, when you stop and think about all that, when you really think about what we're about to do and that Jesus wants us to think of this as his flesh that we're eating, that's kind of a gruesome thought, isn't it? That's not a real pleasant thought. To drink the blood of Jesus, that's not a real pleasant image, but that's what God came up with. And that's what we're doing. And that's how Jesus worded it. I'm not saying you have to word it exactly that way, but that's the way Jesus chose to word it. This is my body. Eat this in remembrance of me. This is my blood. You drink this in remembrance of me. And so that's the metaphor that Jesus wanted his disciples to act out. And what we see is every first day of the week, on the day of his resurrection, Jesus' disciples gathered together and they partook of these emblems, and therefore they were eating symbolically, but nevertheless, in a true sense, eating the flesh of Jesus and drinking His blood. Why do you think that's how God wanted that to be done? Why a memorial in that kind of graphic way? Let me read a few verses, if I may, from John chapter 6 and verse 51. In John chapter 6, Jesus is talking to His disciples and also to the crowds, and Jesus makes a startling statement. When they were asking Him to produce bread for them to fill their bellies, Jesus said, "No, I'm not going to do that. In fact, there already is a bread that's come down from heaven." And they said, "Oh, you mean you're going to give us manna like Moses gave those in his day?" And Jesus said, "You already have had the true bread come down from heaven." Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. I'm the bread of life." Jesus goes on in verse 51 and says this, "I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." Then the Jews began to argue with one another, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in yourself. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." That's more of that graphic language, isn't it? Now, was Jesus talking in those verses about taking the Lord's Supper? No. He's not talking in those verses about the Lord's Supper, but He is talking in those verses about what the Lord's Supper is talking about. He's talking about the fact that He was going to die on a cross, and His body given on that cross as a sacrifice for our sins is the only thing that can possibly sustain our lives spiritually. It's absolutely a necessity for us. His blood that He was going to shed as a sacrifice was the only thing that could provide us with forgiveness. Just like if you don't eat food and drink, your physical body will waste away and die. Even so, our spiritual body, if we don't have the spiritual food and drink that Jesus supplies, His sacrificial death, if we don't have that, we will absolutely die. And Jesus says, that's why it's imperative for you to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And if you don't do that, you have no life in yourselves. Jesus wasn't talking about the Lord's Supper when He said those words. He was talking, though, about what the Lord's Supper is talking about. The Lord's Supper is a way in which we graphically remind ourselves of the very point Jesus was making in John 6. And there's a lot of things that we can think about as we partake of the Lord's Supper. There's a lot of good points to be made about the Lord's Supper, but we need to make sure that we don't allow this point to escape our minds. This is the main significance of all of this. This is the format in which He cast this memorial. We need to be remembering as we eat this bread, I'm eating the flesh of Jesus, so to speak, and I absolutely need Him for my spiritual sustenance. Without Him, I have no spiritual life at all. When we are drinking this cup, we need to make sure that we understand that this is us partaking of the blood of Jesus, reminding ourselves that Jesus' blood on that cross is the only thing that can slake our spiritual thirst. We are going to die of spiritual thirst without His blood. That's what we need to remember. And this is how God wanted us to do that. When you think about that and really make yourself think about the metaphor that we're acting out, it's still kind of troublesome, though, isn't it? It's still kind of maybe gruesome, or it just kind of makes us a little bit uncomfortable when we really make ourselves think about what we're doing in this symbolic act. But maybe that's also part of the point, too. Have you ever thought about that? Human sacrifice, reprehensible to God. God's Old Testament prophets talked about that being an abomination. The pagans had human sacrifices. God doesn't want a human sacrifice. It's an abomination. And yet, ultimately, it took that abominable deed of the human sacrifice of His Son to provide us with a means of salvation. To actually eat the flesh of a human being in real life, that's a gruesome act of cannibalism. That's a reprehensible thing. To drink the blood of even an animal is something that God said from the very beginning when He first gave animal flesh to human beings as a food source in Genesis 9. Don't ever drink the blood of an animal, because that blood is the source of life. The life is in the blood. It's a gruesome and reprehensible thing to think about drinking the blood even of an animal. And yet symbolically, that's what Jesus called upon His disciples to do. Every first day of every week, to symbolically do an action to partake of a meal that, if done literally in real life, would be a reprehensible thing. But maybe that's the point, folks. Jesus' death on the cross was a reprehensible thing. The fact that the Son of God had to die to become our spiritual food, that He had to shed His blood to provide us with spiritual, life-giving drink, that's an absolutely reprehensible thing. But that's what had to be. I'm telling you what, folks. If we will understand what this Lord's meal is all about, if we will really get it, it will absolutely shake us out of our spiritual lethargy. It will wake us up and realize the gravity of Jesus' sacrifice and what He should mean to me, and how Jesus wants me to understand that gravity every first day of every week, to be reminded of that, so I will go forth in that week and remember the reprehensible act that my God performed, giving His Son as a human sacrifice, because that was the only way that we could be saved. And we need to remember how absolutely vital Jesus is to us. And that's why Jesus said, I want you to eat my flesh. I want you to drink my blood. And remember. I'd like to ask these men to come forward now and help us to partake of this Lord's Supper.